This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tiny little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Getting some breaking news. Jobless claims in America just hit the lowest number since March. That is unbelievable that the country is showing this kind of economic and employment resilience in the midst of the widespread shutdown. So lowest number of claims since March. So at least economically, America's coming back. That is some good news. Nicole, I have to give you some credit for something here as I get started in the Fastest 15. And we may have talked about this. Yeah. We may have even talked about this yesterday on the show. You hate Twitter. Is that a fair statement?
I don't think much good comes from it. It's somewhat, you could be maybe... You could argue for marketing, so you could probably put some stuff out there that way. We use it for show prep, but other than that, not much good comes from it.
Yeah, and you've been encouraging me to shift to Facebook. So yesterday afternoon...
Much more positive.
I was reminded of that because I don't visit Facebook that often. Our show has a very active and gigantic Facebook presence, but I don't go to Facebook that often. But because of the conversation you and I had on air yesterday, and you were just saying Facebook's, much better for us interacting with our listeners. And so after the show, I go out on my deck yesterday, and there is a spider web that is one of the greatest architectural marvels I've ever seen in my entire life.
They are so out of control right now. Oh.
No. The spiders. I thought you said yes. I was out of control. Oh, no. No, the spiders are everywhere. But the web appeared to be suspended above my railing with nothing that it was hanging from. And so I looked, and there was one diagonal thread that went to the top of my house about 20 feet above. I mean, seriously, you saw the video. Wasn't that something else? It was incredible. Nicole, you still there? So anyway, I posted
lost
that.
Lost you for a second, sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
But
so,
I did see it.
So
it
I posted
amazing.
That video. It was amazing. So I posted it, and then I started seeing all the comments. And I realized every comment was really nice and positive and uplifting. And then I went back and I looked at, I had posted a picture of my family, which I rarely do, a few days ago. And I started reading those comments, and they were all so universally kind. And I thought, well, this is pleasant. This is much better than, because Twitter is just all about hatred and acrimony and twisting things. And so I'm going to give you credit, Nicole. I think I'm going to shift my interaction with listeners just to Facebook. I think it's just
okay.
A much smarter thing to do.
Well, yeah. It's you're talking to people who really want to hear from you, whereas Twitter, people just want to get angry. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting how I'm building up to something here because cancel culture is after me big time. They think everybody I'm associated with should fire me. And the thing they've seized upon is I was live tweeting the debates last night, the vice presidential debate and the gubernatorial debate. And as I was watching the gubernatorial debate, Jay Inslee said something that made me literally laugh when I heard him say it.
And when we follow science in Washington, as we do, good things happen. We are a science-oriented state. And we can use our science and our heads and beat this virus. And the reason is so we can reopen our economy. And I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, he said we are a science-oriented state. And that amused me. Because, and so now I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna tweet about this, how silly and ridiculous that is. And so I was thinking, okay, the wildfires, he's blaming those on climate change, which, you know, as we've talked to, you know, Mass at the University of Washington and others, there's no way that climate change has been so impactful that it has affected wildfires this year. And so I was thinking about that. It's going to be kind of wordy. And I was thinking about, you know, data daddy. He talks about using data, but all of these examples of where he has just ignored data or is just making data up. Again, a little wordy for 140 characters. And so what I'm thinking about is something we talked about a lot last year, the year before. In Olympia, they said that anybody can go and change their gender on their birth certificate. And I talked about it many times on the show. I talked to the people at the department. It wasn't Department of Licensing, Department of Public Records, as they're going through it. And I said, well, there's no science to back that up. That, you know, me, Dory Monson, that I could, you know, be born as a boy at Ballard Hospital, grow up as a boy in Ballard, be a young man at the University of Washington, be a man throughout my life. And now in 2020, I could go to Olympia and say, but on October 2nd, 1961, the day I was born, I can now say on that day I was a girl. And scientifically, that, of course, doesn't make any sense. And so that's what I tweeted last night. It's a refutation to what Jay Inslee was saying. And I said, I'm trying to find my exact tweet here. But I said, Jay Inslee says we are a science-based state. The state where I could go to Olympia tomorrow and change my birth certificate to say I was a girl on October 2nd, 1961. Ha, ha, ha. And again, I'm laughing at Jay Inslee saying that we are a science-based state in everything we do because there's no science to back that up. Well, man, all of a sudden, the cancel culture came out and they said, you're making fun of transgender people, which didn't even cross my mind, honestly. I was making a political statement about our State Department of Records in Olympia saying that we can, 59 years later, change a public document, which, again, it has nothing to do with science and was, at the moment, my refutation of Jay Inslee saying that we are a science-based state. Well, I'm telling you what, cancel culture is coming after me for that. And that tweet is being shared and it's being sent to activist groups and I'm a transphobe all of a sudden. And what they apparently don't know is I've said every day of my life, if an adult wants to change their gender, I have no problem with that. I couldn't care less. It's none of my business. The libertarian in me says that that's absolutely none of my business. But they're coming out. And then I heard from a dear friend who has had a little turmoil in their family because of this issue. And I called them this morning and I said, I apologize unequivocally. I don't do the wimpy if you were offended. I said, I understand that's how you've interpreted this. And I apologize unequivocally. Because that didn't even cross my mind when I sent it. But as I said, it doesn't matter to people who have decided, and the, you know, main instigators of this were people who have, you know, long ago thought that there's no place in Seattle media for somebody who tends to go against the Seattle orthodoxy. And I mean, there has been an incredibly active effort for many, many years, but it's picked up a lot of steam most recently because cancel culture across the country has been validated far too many times. And I don't have any control over that. I only have control over what's in my heart. And so, you know, they're saying, oh, you're laughing at transgender people. No, I was laughing at Jay Inslee saying we are a science-based state. But I heard a couple of people I care about deeply, and I personally called them this morning, and I said, I'm sorry. That was not where I was going. That was not my intent on that. And I'll tell you the same thing. If you were hurt by that, I'm sorry. Not where I was going, not my intent, but I'm sorry. Unequivocally, no qualifications. Having said all of that, It points out that, you know, trying to say anything in 140 characters is challenging at best. But, you know, my worldview is formed by my life experience. It's formed by me being a Christian. And that affects, you know, I do believe that God plays a role in who and what we are at birth. Again, I don't care. My Christian experience should not be imposed on any adult who wants to change their gender. I don't care. But it does impact how I view how we come into this world. And, I mean, that is a Christian-based perspective that I have. But it's just... You know, I think it validated the reaction to this, Nicole. I think validated what you've been saying, that you know, if people are just determined to come and destroy me, silence me, eliminate me from the media scene, Twitter's just a lousy place to hang out because everything I do on the radio has context. And I think the people who listen to our radio show know what's in my heart. And when people just decide, I'm going to share this with groups and they're going to come after it, and people who have never heard my show are calling me names, it just kind of reveals what you've been saying for a long time about Twitter, Nicole. It's very, well, very true.
It's also a reason that we've, I don't know if listeners have noticed, but we've kind of pulled back on My Northwest. Some of the stuff that we used to put, we wouldn't put anymore because I put up there anymore because it just gets taken out of context and it's shared without listening, without hearing the whole story. Headlines get shared and get attacked. And, you know, the struggle is real here. And I know that a big reason that we are doing so well here and the big reason that you've been such a big part of the Pacific Northwest for the last 25 years is because our listeners feel like they're not being heard, and you make them feel right. Heard. You're their voice. And it goes without saying it's a struggle in the Northwest to sometimes be a conservative, and it's, yeah, it was bound to reach us. So we have to be very careful.
Well, yeah, but being careful means being if you have to check your swing to the extent that you are no longer who and what you are and all the things that made you successful, then you start becoming a phony. You start becoming what the cancel crowd wants, which is something you're not, because you have to mold everything to their demands. And this is what I've talked about for months now. The mob is demanding that we have unithought. And anybody who dares stray, and because Cairo is not a, you know, we're not KTTH. We're not a conservative station. There, I think you are just assumed that everybody's going to have the same perspective, and people don't get as worked up about that. But on a station where we have a broad spectrum of ideas, that's where there, and because we are the biggest, most dominant station in the Northwest, that's where people have focused on, well, we got to get rid of that guy. And you know,
so un-American. So un-American. It really is. And
I know. But I don't get worked up about it. But once in a while, I feel like I need to give some context. And bottom line is, and you said this morning, I got to just forget about Twitter. Because there's no context.
It doesn't pay everything's, the bill, sorry.
It's too abbreviated. There's no context. People thought I was laughing at some group when I was laughing at Jay Inslee, and it's just ridiculous. It's all just ridiculous.
So anybody but, that sees a tweet from Dory, remind him of that.
Yeah, no, you're not going to see it. I'm done. No, but I will repeat because as I said, I called a couple of dear friends this morning who saw that. Didn't have any idea what I was trying to say. And I said, I get it how you've interpreted this. I'm sorry.
Like we were talking about earlier in the week or last week, we were saying, you know, you have to be a better consumer of news. And Twitter kind of wraps that up. Like you only get headlines. There is no way to read the whole story. And that is what we were talking about being a big problem last week as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's what's going on there. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well. Up next in the big, or in the Fast 50,
yeah.
Wherever we are in the show right now.
We're pretty much to break, but you can throw something in here.
I wasn't expecting to spend the entire Fastest 15 talking about that. No, you're absolutely right. But tell you what, We've got an open segment next, which means it's open for whatever direction Nicole and I want to take it. So I'm going to continue with a bunch of Fastest 15 stuff coming up next, right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. It's really interesting how worked up people are about the news that came down yesterday, and you just heard Heather reporting on it further, that Rite Aid, the national company, is taking over Bartels. I used to go to the Ballard Bartels when I was a kid. We had a couple pharmacies in Ballard. There was one, there used to be independent pharmacies. And so where I grew up, kind of by Sunset Hill on Ballard, in Ballard, 65th and 32nd, there was a pharmacy there called Otterson's. And it was kind of one of those full-service stores where they had a lot of, you know, dime store stuff. They had a row of toys. I would sleep at my Aunt Sissy's, who lived on 32nd, on Thursday nights because my mom had choir practice. So I'd go to Sissy's, and she was single, even though she was a little older than my mom. She was single. She worked for a wedding photographer, and she didn't make much money, but she, you know, had enough to buy a house and had a little extra money, so I thought she was rich. But I would sleep there, and she would always, on Thursday nights, fry me a T-bone steak that she'd get at Food Town, which was the little teeny tiny grocery store in the neighborhood. But they had a butcher department. And then she'd get frozen crinkle cut French fries. And then on Friday morning in the summer times, I'd walk home, which is about 5 blocks away. But we'd swing into Otterson's Pharmacy on 65th and 32nd. And she spoiled me so much. Oh, man, my Aunt Sissy spoiled me. I loved her so much. And she was, like so many people in my family, an alcoholic. But, she was lovely. And she would let me buy one toy at Otterson's Pharmacy. So that was kind of, you know, what I grew up knowing about pharmacies. Now it's the big boys, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Bartels. People are worked up about Rite Aid buying Bartels. It's interesting because I have a couple things, prescriptions I need to fill every month. and I used to go to Walgreens, and then the one closest to us closed down. So I shifted to Rite Aid, which is a little bit closer. Well, my wife, for whatever reason, she can't stand Rite Aid. So she was disgusted by Rite Aid buying Bartels. And then the other story in the news, the Pink Elephant car wash downtown. They said because of all the crime, all the drug addiction, they're closing down permanently. They're going to send the iconic Pink Elephant sign, neon sign, to the history of, or the Museum of History and Industry. And it's an, all these Seattle institutions are just going bye-bye. And it's all because of homelessness, drug addiction, crime, politicians who won't deal with any of that stuff. There's lots of stuff in the news today along those lines. Gary Horker, our friend at Cairo 7 News, our news partners, he did a story about a homeless encampment that is built right next to Thornton Creek. Now, I will tell you, Thornton Creek, we have spent a fortune as taxpayers to try to restore Thornton Creek, to try to make sure that it's vibrant and healthy. And now we have homeless encampments, and they are dumping trash in there. Runoff from drug cooking is going in the creek. And, I mean, it is just tragic what's happening.
I have no idea where the power is coming from.
Extension cords tap into city lines near a permanent sign describing just how important this ecology of the Thornton Creek watershed is.
You know, we're not allowed to build here, but people are building here and taking over inside of here and dumping oil and waste and other things into the soil that's going into the water.
A Seattle City Parks worker told David and Justin his son was stuck with a hypodermic needle while they were working here. Damage to the creek where salmon will soon run into Puget Sound, and the city recently spent $11 million to restore, are only the beginning of the concerns here.
We have nightly fights and screaming. We've got people chasing people out with crowbars saying that they don't have right to access to the park.
Neighbors took this video of someone who appears to be firing a pistol at birds in the trees.
It's a place where families used to gather to have outdoor time, which is the most precious time right now we have in the state of COVID.
I mean, it is so tragic. We've literally spent millions to restore this watershed. And now, because our city council believes that homelessness and encampments should be allowed any place where there's green space, they are willing. These people on the far left who claim to care about the environment, they're willing to destroy a important watershed so that they can have more heroin addicts polluting that watershed. And, of course, in the latest police cuts, there's no navigation team to try to offer the residents of the encampments a place for shelter and food and job training, mental health training, addiction treatment.
But since the city council defunded the homeless navigation team, there seems to be no hope for any kind of response to protect and restore this area.
Mayor Durkin, come on down. We'll walk you through the park. We'll walk you through the neighborhood. You can meet our neighbors.
Now, they're all oblivious. They don't want to see the reality of the conditions that they've created. And then the same reporter, Gary Horker at Cairo 7, he had a story about another encampment. There are homes, condos, that literally overlook this encampment where they're up all night cooking stuff. And it's a bicycle chop shop. They have metal grinders. They're piecing together bicycles that they've stolen. So
this is Jackson Park Perimeter Trail, owned by the city. It's a Parks Department trail. Now, right here, you can see the metal shop.
The structure Ed Peterson pointed out up ahead is built out of wood and tarps, all secured by a locked door. But Ed and his neighbors have been complaining for months about what they hear and smell coming out of the structure.
At nighttime is when they all come in. Okay. And that's when the grinding wheel starts, the metal shop starts, and all this other motorcycles are running up and down the trail.
Last night I was awakened to some hammering noises in that metal shop.
And this noise will go on till 5 in the morning.
Right.
I'm telling you, There's a bicycle chop shop on Lake City Way where there are at times dozens, scores, maybe even 100 stolen bicycles. I talked to a cop in my neighborhood, and he said, yeah, if there's a stolen bicycle out here, he said, I can go to that chop shop on 125th in Lake City, and there's a 90% chance that it's there. This is an organized crime ring, but the Seattle City Council tolerates it. I told you, one of my daughters, I gave her a bicycle, my wife and I, gave her a bicycle as a Christmas gift. I think it was 3 years ago. And she lived in an apartment in the city with a locked security storage area. Somebody got in, stole her bicycle. I mean, this is an epidemic, and nobody in politics cares.
Next to it, more encampments with warnings to stay out. Now, this is the first time Ed and his neighbors got this close.
I've never come here for 2 years now.
Derek Weathersby has some good reasons to stay away. His condo directly overlooks the encampments right on the trail.
But it was very concerning to hear what I thought was gunshot sounds, and this has happened on many occasions.
Ed called...
I mean, think about this. This guy has invested in a home, a condo, and now right underneath are tents and tarps and a bicycle chop shop, grinding wheels that go all night. And the city of Seattle, the radical leftists, have decided that they are going to tolerate that. Criminals rule the roost in Seattle. It's by design. That's why they've structured everything for the last several months to let criminals take over the city. It's part of the destruction of the city that they so desperately want to see happen. It's very sad who we've elected around here. Okay, lots more to come. Oh, I'll tell you about the naked celebrities who want you to get out and vote. That's coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Have never been spoken to me. I'm sorry, Alex. What are words that have never been spoken to me? I bring this up because I think we're all trying to decide who we're going to vote for in 26 days, Trump or Kamala Harris, Lauren Culp or Joe Biden, or what's his name, Jay Inslee. And I think that if you're anything like me, you like to turn to Hollywood when you have important decisions to make. Well, I have some good news for you today. A handful of Hollywood stars, including Mark Ruffalo and Sarah Silverman, we have dramatically lowered the bar on what qualifies as a star. A handful of Hollywood stars, including Mark Ruffalo and Sarah Silverman. Nicole, Sean, can you name one thing that Mark Ruffalo has ever been in?
Oh, sure. He's in the whole MCU universe. He's the Hulk.
MCU. Oh.
He's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sorry, Dory, for the uninitiated.
Really?
Yeah,
oh.
He's the new iteration of the Hulk. He's fantastic in that role.
So he is a star.
He's topical.
Okay. All right. Well,
I was going to say Miss Congeniality.
For who?
I believe he was in Miss Congeniality.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, I'm happy to announce he's not just topical, but now he's topless-able. Mark Ruffalo and Sarah Silverman, they've gotten naked for a new PSA urging Americans to follow instructions when voting by mail to ensure that their ballot counts. Now, I know that we are dramatically limited by the audio-only nature of radio, so you're just going to have to imagine Mark Ruffalo and Sarah Silverman and other celebrities naked is to make a very important voting point for
him. And I was wrong.
He's I'm naked.
I'm completely butt-ass naked.
I'm naked.
I'm, like, naked.
There isn't a man behind me. These are my hands.
Why you want me to be naked?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Ruffalo, put your clothes on.
To be honest, I wish I could cover my hands with my boobs, but here we are.
I'm here to talk to you about voting.
Did you know that ballots could be naked?
And if you don't do exactly what I tell you, your ballot could get thrown out.
This is my ballot. Just got it.
First of all, when your ballot comes, you're supposed to...
Okay, anyway, they're all naked. It's not just Mark Ruffalo and Sarah Silverman. Also featured Chelsea Handler, Amy Schumer, Naomi Campbell, Josh Gad, and Tiffany Haddish. So anyway, they got naked. You should vote by mail.
It doesn't.
Like
the commercial doesn't really work because you just see them from the mid waist up. You know, so they could be wearing pants,
right.
Pajamas.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it ends with Sarah Silverman lifting her arms up and not covering her.
Oh, I didn't watch to the end. Now I gotta go back and watch that.
Well, it's blurred, Sean.
And then there's this. A kid, how old's this kid, would you say, Nicole, in this Zoom classroom?
Kindergarten, for sure. He's very young, maybe 5.
But still, it's too old to have mom walking around the house naked, isn't he? I mean, shouldn't mom stop walking around naked in front of their kids?
So this,
he looks like he's a kindergartner, and he's on a Zoom class, and his mom walks behind him naked.
Why? Because school ended so fast. David Turner. Oh my God, who was that baby naked? Mom, turn your camera off, Tavion.
That's the teacher telling the kid to turn the camera off because mom's naked. I think mom was a little bit of an exhibitionist and wanted the other kids to see that. Which would be creepy if true. That's just my theory. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then the big lead at 2 is coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.